Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thank you for listening to this podcast. There are many more podcasts available at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you.
You're seeking after God. You're learning. You're studying the Bible. You're putting your faith into practice. And yet you struggle to experience inner peace and joy. Why is that? Hi, I'm Ben. You're listening to Afternoons with Bill Arnold on Faith Radio. And our guest to start off today is Pastor Dale Hummel, who pastors a really large church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, Wooddale Church, multiple locations, multi-site congregational, 5,000 people. You think he'd have it all together, right? He's got his perfect life. Everything's going great. He's written this book called Reset, Live Every Day Like It's a New Day. And as I was reading the beginning of this book, tears started coming down my face because of the intense intensity of the abuse that he's struggled with and faced as a child. And we'll get into that, and then we'll help you reset if you're battling fear or shame or anxiety, to help you reset and to join with God with what he's doing to change your life. Pastor Dale, welcome to Faith Radio.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. So let's just start off right at the beginning of your story as a child. You were born to missionary parents.
That's right.
Overseas. And, you know, just looking at your life, it's so interesting how we look at people's lives and feel like they should have it all together. They have the perfect life. They were born into the perfect situation. They have parents who love Jesus, who seek after him, who teach other people about Jesus. Your life must have been absolutely perfect. But it starts off with you being abused as a young child.
Yeah. You know, I oftentimes in preaching, teaching, tell people that God has a purpose for your life, and I believe that with all my heart. But at the same time, I also think the enemy has a purpose for our life, and he wants to destroy that life. And oftentimes, it can begin even in childhood, as we know and experience and hear and see in life, and that's what happened to me.
And it started at age 7, is that correct?
Yeah, a little bit before that, my parents were missionaries in Papua New Guinea, and we were working amongst primitive people, and they established a mission station, and there was a national on the station, and one day things just went south really bad in terms of his approach to me. I think my mom and dad had a lot of faith and trust in these individuals, and he took advantage of me.
And that lasted for how long?
You know, that was a one-off situation.
Okay.
So it was a day. It happened. It was done. And I suppose if that had been it, you know, I probably would have gotten over that. But when we came back from the field, and then reestablished ourselves in the U.S., Mom and Dad didn't have much at all in terms of material things. So we had to live with some relatives. And what happened is I like almost on day two of arriving, there was an individual in that family that kind of picked up where the other person left off. And that lasted for several years. Mm-hmm.
And your parents had no idea?
No, you know, in retrospect, they should have. But I don't think they did. They went through a kind of a difficult period after coming back from the field in their own marriage, and I didn't see my dad a lot through my junior high years. He worked in Canada, had a business there. We lived in Michigan, and so he was gone quite a bit, and that just created more vulnerability for me.
And you didn't say anything?
No, you know, it's pretty typical, right? Mm-hmm. There's the fear. If I say something, what's everybody going to think of me? You know, is this my fault? Did I do something wrong? And then, of course, you know, all the feelings are awakening in your body, especially as you start to enter puberty, and it becomes very confusing. And yeah, just fear and a sense of shame was coursing through my mind and my life. And unfortunately, this individual was well regarded, particularly by my mother. And so, you know, there was a sense of, what, you know, I don't know if I can really say anything because maybe she won't believe me. Maybe she'll be upset with me. Yeah, so it was a very confusing time.
Dale Hummel is the senior pastor at Wooddale Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, and he's written this book called Reset, Live Every Day Like It's a Brand New Day. And we're talking about just what he went through as a child, and we'll get to the reset part. But if you're going through this or you've been through this, we believe that God has conversations here on Faith Radio and leads us to have conversations with people just at the right moment at the right time. And so we're going to get to the fact that there is hope. There is a future. But Dale, I just want to continue on this story about the feelings of guilt, the strange feelings, the desires, everything that had happened in your life was your fault, including the struggles that your parents started having in their marriage. And as a young child, as the abuse started at 7 or a little bit before, and then entered into puberty, and you take on all of these things and all of these feelings that will then go, and as we know now, have impacted so many parts of your life. But in that moment as you're growing up, how do you process that? And then how does it impact you as you continue to grow?
Yeah, and you know, the processing is very difficult. I had a hard time adjusting from being in a primitive culture to a blue-collar town in Michigan. There are a lot of bullying and things like that going on. So in addition to dealing with the internal stuff that was happening in my life, I also then had to deal with the external things of not being accepted and feeling like truly an outsider. And that just, you know, kind of pushed me further into my own little closet and trying to process all these things, which as a kid, you know, you can't do. And I think what made it more complicated, and I talked about it in the book, was that I grew up with a brand of theology that taught that you could lose your salvation. And so with all this going through my mind, especially as I got older, I just felt like God had no use for me. There was no hope for me. I never have been angry or bitter towards God about it. And that's been a gift of his grace. I know others have who've been through similar situations, but I never felt an anger toward God. I did feel a great distance, and I felt a great separation from him as a result of that. Mm.
It's so interesting how you say your religion didn't help you, and you just kind of allowed us to peek behind the curtain there a little bit, but you're a survivor and you've always been.
Yeah.
And you say in the book, I don't take credit for that drive. But to this day, you believe that despite what you went through, God was and is still in control. And that is so hard to comprehend for people. Were you feeling that as you were going through all of this?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it was a discovery, right? It's like I believed in God. I had no doubt about that. I felt distant from God. I didn't know how God could love me or relate to me. I must be this horrible sinner. Because, you know, you cross a line when you've been abused, right? There's things that are done to you that are not your fault. You didn't necessarily cause them, especially with childhood abuse. But as that continues and as you grow and get older and you know better, right, then you start making decisions by how that affects your life in terms of sexuality, thought life, etc. And then, you know, you have to own some of that stuff. So it was that mess, I guess, in my mind of what happened to me, what am I guilty for, what am I not guilty for, it, you know, is God going to accept me, is God going to love me, is God going to forgive me, and that led to a lot of other issues for me. I talk about it in the book. I developed OCD. I've wrestled with that my whole life. I developed nervous tics, anxiety, all the kinds of things that you even hear about today, because you know, it's got to come out some way. You got to process this some way. And I just did not know how to do that. So I was kind of a mess, really all the way up through high school. And it even followed me into my early 30s when I had what I consider more or less my midlife crisis. And I talk about that in the book. And that's where really healing started happening in my life. Mm.
The book is called Reset, Live Every Day Like It's a New Day. We're talking to Pastor Dale Hummel, pastor of Wooddale Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Dale, you know, oftentimes here at the radio station, if a computer system isn't working or we're having trouble with technology and we go to our engineer's office, the first question is, have you turned it off and turned it back on again?
Yeah.
Have you reset? Have you reset it? How do you reset when you are seeking after God? And all of the things that you describe in this book, you're reading the Bible, you're in devotions, you're in small groups, you're doing all of these things, but your mind is working against you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess the first thing I would say is that there was things that happened to me that I was not in control of. Then there are things that, as a result of that, that affected my life and decisions I made and things I've done that I have to own are my own sin or my own issues that I have to wrestle through. And so as I was wrestling with all of that in my soul and my life, God seemed very distant to me, but God was still real to me. I didn't hate God. I didn't think God, you know, didn't exist. I believe God was there. I was just trying to figure out, how do I relate to this God? And as I began to grow and then came here to Minnesota, where I actually went to college at Crown College, and began to study the Word and began to really think about who God was, I began to realize, you know, the effect that sin has on our lives and the fact that God is a God of grace and mercy and forgiveness. And that's where I have to start, is God's grace, God's love, God's forgiveness toward me. And that just led then to my dealing with issues of my OCD, which happens later on in life when I'm in my 30s, I'm in ministry, get diagnosed with this. And what that led to is an understanding of how the mind works, the brain. And that opened a door for me to begin to really understand not only mental illness, but also sin's effect on our life. And so the idea of resetting is our minds have been affected, and our minds are made up of three basic areas: thoughts, ideas, imagination. And all those are affected by our environment. They're affected by our sin nature. So reset is, how do I take my thoughts, my ideas, imagination, and how do I reset that to think good thoughts, to think right thoughts about me, about God, about others?
And I can't wait to get into more of that. Pastor Dale Hummel is the lead pastor, the senior pastor of Wooddale Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. He's written this book called Reset. Live every day like it's a new day. And just what he said, you can become free from tyranny of past hurts and disappointments simply by changing your mind, which in turn will change your brain. Pastor Dale is sharing his story with such vulnerability. And maybe God has given you a story. And maybe God's using Faith Radio to encourage you, maybe comfort you, maybe challenge you. Are there conversations or messages that have changed your mind or softened your heart? Would you share how God is helping you grow by telling your story at myfaithradio.com? More with Pastor Dale Hummel next on Faith Radio.
I'm Susie Larson, host of Susie Larson Live. The religious leaders expected a warrior. The disciples wanted an overthrower. The bullies wanted him to shut up. And the sinners were surprised when he stepped up. At every turn, Jesus surprised them, just as he surprises us now. Why? Because he always has the bigger story in mind. And you are a part of that story. You were the joy set before him. Connecting faith to life. Faith Radio.
Pastor Dale Hummel grew up in a cycle of abuse. It started in Papua New Guinea before he was even 7 years old. His parents were missionaries. He moved back here, and a family member continued the abuse, and he's being unbelievably vulnerable and authentic during this conversation, answering hard questions and telling us how God has moved in his life. And we're so grateful for Pastor Dale Hummel, who is the senior pastor at Wooddale Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. This is Afternoons with Bill Arnold on Faith Radio, and my name is Ben, and we're talking about reset. Live every day like it's a new day. And we're talking about the aspects of resetting your mind as they relate to resetting your focus and identity and attitude and faith and community. And Pastor Hummel seeking after the Lord, Christian study, practice, right leadership, and he struggled to experience inner peace and joy, and maybe you find yourself in that same exact spot. And it's frustrating. It's so frustrating because you're seeking after God and you just feel like you're battling your brain. And maybe you need a reset. And we're going to help you walk through the steps of reset. And I love what you said, Pastor Dale, about if we believe God has a plan for our life, we also know that Satan probably has a plan for our life too, and a way for you to go. And he's constantly battling to get you to follow his plan. So thank you for coming back to Faith Radio. We're so grateful. We talked about the three parts that make up your mind, your thoughts, your ideas, and your imagination. As you've gone through some trauma in your life, how do you change your mind? How do you change your thoughts? How do you change your ideas and your imagination?
Yeah, I think it goes back, first of all, to understanding what happened in the book of Genesis. You know, God created man, and then out of man, he created the woman, and God said that everything that he did was good. And so if you think about Adam and Eve and how they saw themselves and how they saw each other, how they saw their environment, how they saw God, it was all based on truth. It was all based on God's grace, God's love. It was an amazing experience. It's interesting that when the enemy comes in Genesis 3, the place that he attacks is the mind, because he goes right to the woman, Adam standing there, of course, and begins to question God's goodness. And that leads then to what we call the fall, or humanity's rebellion. And we've all received that same nature. We all want to be our own God, which means then that the way I look at myself now and the way I look at other people, the way I look at God, is not necessarily coming from the truth. It's coming from my sinful nature, which is all very self-centered. So I don't think straight, to put it bluntly. And I, you know, one of the things I often tell people is, you know, we oftentimes differentiate and say, you know, that person has mental illness. And the reality is all of us have mental illness, every last one of us, because we were all born sinners. We are all born with a proclivity to think in the wrong ways, because we're born with a lie in our minds and a lie in our hearts, and we live in a world filled with deceit and lies. So our tendency, and scientists have done study on this, our tendency is to always think toward the negative. You know, your mind is either going to be in unfocused or focused mode. And normally it's an unfocused mode. And in the unfocused mode, it always drifts toward negative things and sinful things. And so it takes real discipline to reset our minds. And so what happened to me is when I was struggling with why I was having such a hard time with my thoughts and found out I had OCD, I then went to Mayo Clinic and was involved in a program they had there for resilient living. Dr. Amit Soot was the director of that. And it was so helpful to me because I learned a lot about how the mind works, how the mind-brain relationship works. And what happened is when I discovered how the mind works, I realized these principles that were being taught that were not Christian principles had a huge impact on how our spiritual life and our own spiritual thoughts. And how to change how we think. And it comes down to the word neuroplasticity. And what scientists have discovered is that you can actually change your brain. You can actually change how you think. I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of the brain, but you see all those little grooves. Mm. It kind of reminds me of a roadmap. And it's really easy for our thought life to get stuck in a groove. And we think wrong ways. It takes effort, and it takes basically exercises that I lay out in the book of how to get out of that negative groove, that negative pathway, and get into a more positive pathway based on God's truth about him, about ourselves, about others.
Mm. Pastor Dale Hummels on Faith Radio this afternoon. My name is Ben, and I love what you said in this book about the fact that you went to doctors and talked with scientists, and then you went to study God's word, and it was in plain sight there. That what the scientists and what the doctors were saying was in plain sight in the Bible.
Yeah, you know, Paul actually, if you think about it, if you read Romans chapter 12, especially verse 1 and 2, and Paul talks about the renewing of your mind. It's like, I looked at it and I thought, well, there's neuroplasticity right there, right? It's like, I think where a lot of Christians get stuck is we say, God, change my mind, please. And then we wait for something to happen and nothing happens. And what we fail to realize is there are actually steps we have to take to make that happen. It's like, I talk about in the book, it's like driving by a gym and saying, you know, if I drive by the gym often enough, I'll get stronger. It doesn't work. If I read a book about dieting, that doesn't make me lose weight. I actually have to go in and exercise. I actually have to eat differently. Same thing is true. If you want to change how you think, there are certain things you have to do to begin to change the process of the brain itself.
Pastor Dale Hummel's on Afternoons with Bill Arnold here on Faith Radio. What do you say to the people that say that are listening right now and that struggle when they're not listening to Faith Radio, or even when they are, and they just say this, what's wrong with me?
Yeah, I mean, I think you first have to step back and honestly just begin a journey of saying, God, I know you have a better plan for my life. How do I discover this? How do I initiate this plan? How can I get better? How can I get whole? And my book, you know, and I mean, it seems kind of self-serving when I say this, but my book really lays that plan out. It's really a step-by-step process. I talk about, you know, how to get your mind to focus the right way. And I talk about how to re-engineer your attitude, how to rediscover who you really are, your identity. And then, you know, what does it mean to live a life of faith? At the end of the book, I talk how important it is to have a community around you who's helping you in this journey, because you can't do it by yourself.
Right. And Satan is telling you all of the opposite of those exact things that you just said. And it's so easy to believe the lies, because they seem like they're loud and they seem like they're coming at you in rapid fire. And you're only by yourself, and you're absorbed, or you're absorbing these lies in your head that is just siphoning you off into isolation.
Yeah, and it's so interesting because, you know, Paul in Philippians 4, he says, think on these things. Yeah. And then he talks about the kinds of things we need to focus our minds on. And the reality is we live in a culture and a world today. Think about the media. Everything is so negative. Everything is sensual. And if that's what you're feeding your mind on, okay, then it has an effect on all your thoughts. And I don't know how they do this, but scientists say, and this is the low end I'm giving you right now, I've read higher statistics, that we have an average of at least 25,000 thoughts every day. You know, thoughts we don't even know about that are just racing through our minds. So, you know, what's influencing how I think? That has a huge effect on me, even physiologically, emotionally, spiritually. So the book is about getting our heads out of that. And so I create steps for how to detach from that negative thinking, and then how to focus your mind on the positive thinking of God's word and his truth, and then letting the Holy Spirit, you know, really begin to work in our lives and transform our lives.
Pastor Dale Hummel from Wooddale Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. So how do you recommend we focus on the things that Paul was talking about? Do you recommend we shut off the news? We stop having communications with toxic relationships. I mean, how far is too far? What is your recommendation to help us reset our brains?
Yeah, I mean, it's really simply for me, it's how I begin my day. All right, what thoughts am I going to start my day with? And so I try to make it a habit every day of starting my thought life with God, which means for me personally, it's just an hour at least, where I'm going through the Bible, and I have a process by which I journal through the scriptures I'm reading and take in what God has to say to me. Because God does speak to us today. You know, oftentimes when we think about prayer, we think about it's something I do, I initiate, but actually God initiates all communication. And it's in his word. I just have to learn how to hear from him. And so I practice that. I try to learn how to hear from God. And then I begin to use that in my prayer life in this communication exercise with God. That sets the tone for the day of how I'm going to think and process things. And then, you know, for the rest of the day, it's me being intentional about where am I going to put my thoughts today? Am I going to put my thoughts toward negative things? Or am I going to put my thoughts toward things that are true and good and pure? And that's a choice everybody faces. And, you know, you face that choice when you're on the internet. I can decide what I want to read, what I want to look at. And I don't think we should stick our head in the sand and detach from the world, especially I have to know what's going on around me. I just have to make sure I limit my intake of news, because news, you know, the logarithms, et cetera, that they put out there are all meant to draw us toward negative things. We feed off that. That's where our energy goes, and then we're in trouble. So I have to make these choices. And a lot of people feel like they can't make that choice, but you can. And to have a peace of mind is worth it.
Right. And it feels like it can be overwhelming because of those 25,000 thoughts that you have or the 35,000 decisions you make every day. But we just ask God, God, please help make our decisions every single day and help them come into focus so that in any given moment or any given minute or hour or day, you can help me make the right decision so that I continually focus on you. Pastor Dale Hummel is our guest today. He's the senior pastor of Wooddale Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. This book is called Reset. Live every day like it's a new day, talking about resetting your focus, resetting your attitude, resetting your identity, resetting your faith, resetting your community. It's so important, but you can do it with God. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength, right? Pastor Dale Hummel, thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us. You're and welcome. For encouraging us and for giving us hope on Faith Radio.
All right. God bless.
You too. We love because he first loved us. We give because he loved us so much that he gave his one and only son. And we create because he first created. Hi, I'm Ben. This is the Afternoon Show with Bill Arnold on Faith Radio. And this next guest is an interesting conversation. I can't wait till you hear more about him. He is an Air Force vet and an award-winning artist. And he made this beautiful artistry featuring the messianic theme of Jesus from Genesis to Revelation in the Illuminated Messiah Bible. His name is Tim Gagneau. He is the artist behind the Illuminated Messiah Bible. And if you haven't seen it yet, holy smokes, I would say go check it out. These pictures are unbelievable. Tim, welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold on Faith Radio.
Oh, thanks so much for having us. I'm super excited to be here. We're going to have a great time talking about Jesus.
Absolutely. Amen. So, the Illuminated Messiah Bible. Why? Let's just start there. Why? How did God lead you to go, hey, you know what? I'm gonna create 66 pictures that will be illuminated, different verses, different chapters, different books of the Bible, and it's going to take me 5 years to do it. I mean, how did that all come about?
Well, I can't take too much credit for it because I've got to give credit to the Lord because I would not have put myself through that. It is a lot of work. But for me, when I'm doing my Bible studies, the thing that I nerd out on, that I really just really, really get into are the Old Testament messianic prophecies, and then their fulfillment in the New Testament in Jesus. And as an artist, I'm a visual thinker, so I don't see words on a page. I see images of what I'm reading. I see these flashes. And every artist will tell you they will get something in their head, they will get something in their heart, and if they don't get it on canvas or on paper, it's going to drive them crazy. And so I knew that I had to start painting these things. And so by starting to draw those things, I was led towards this ancient art form called illuminated manuscripts from the Middle Ages, those old Bibles from the Middle Ages with the gold leaf and the calligraphy and the text. And I was just fascinated by it. And so this quickly developed my love for the messianic prophecies, my love for the beautiful art form of illuminations. It just came together. And within a very short matter of time, it developed into 66 portraits, Jesus in every book of the Bible.
Wow, that's amazing. Tim Gagneau on Afternoons with Bill Arnold here on Faith Radio. Wyatt and I were talking about it just before you got on the radio with us about seeing things, right? And we look at the Bible, and Jesus was talking to Thomas, and Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. And yet, you know, 2 Corinthians 5:7, the Apostle Paul says, we live by faith, not by sight. But it's sure helpful to see some of these things. So thank you, thank you, thank you, right? I mean, you would agree, I would imagine.
Yeah, you know, I really do. I grew up attending a Catholic cathedral in my little town of Berlin, New Hampshire, where I grew up. And this cathedral, it was gorgeous. It was like a little piece of Italy had been brought over to the United States and just dropped in New Hampshire. You know, it had the entire book of Daniel carved in the ceiling. It was just a gorgeous, beautiful sanctuary that was filled with the glory of God through the visual arts and the architecture. And I know, looking back on my childhood, that place definitely had a powerful impact on me that translates all the way to today. And so the visual arts are a very powerful, primal form of communications that it supersedes and it surpasses words. And it touches people in a very dramatic way, and it communicates in a very powerful way that sometimes words just can't do.
I love what you said, too, that so long ago, if you wanted to see some of these greatest works of art, you'd have to go to a church. But over time, that waned, and so many of our churches don't necessarily have those in some of the newer, maybe non-denominational community churches. But now you can have it in this Bible. You can see them chapter by chapter. These 66 unbelievably beautiful, articulate, pictures that you've drawn. And then you put them all together, and you give us a poster on the back as well, and you put them all together, and it's a picture of Jesus hanging on the cross.
Yes, that was probably that's the second most difficult part of this 5-year journey where I was in the studio creating all of this artwork. All of the individual paintings, if you're looking at, say, Deuteronomy, it's a portrait of Moses parting the Red Sea, and the passage is how the Messiah will be a man like Moses. You're looking at it, you're like, oh, that's a great painting of Moses parting the Red Sea. But what you may not see initially is that in the background, in the crashing waves behind Moses, are Jesus's toes. And that's because every one of these 66 paintings, while they're a standalone painting that you can enjoy and look at and contemplate, they combine together to form in the art world what we call a polyptych image. And all 66 paintings combine like a jigsaw puzzle. They form a 12.5-foot cross. And what you see, you no longer see Moses parting the Red Sea. You no longer see the Queen of Sheba. You no longer see Jonah and the great fish. They all combine together, and you see Jesus crucified on the cross.
So, Tim, what is your greatest hope for people that pick one of these Bibles up and look at it? I mean, you're obviously painting a picture for them to see something maybe in a way that they otherwise haven't seen it before. What is your hope for somebody who gets to visualize and see these images?
You know, that is a really, really great question. I don't get that one as often as I'd like. The purpose of this for me, it's twofold. These messianic passages from Genesis all the way to Malachi in the Old Testament and then revealed in Christ, they are by far one of the greatest validations that the Word of God is actually the Word of God, because these messianic passages, it's impossible. It's God revealing who He is and His redemptive plan for mankind across time and space, across the Scriptures. It's just impossible. So it validates the Word of God, is the Word of God. And then secondly, it validates that Jesus is the promised Messiah that all of the prophets had talked about and that they spoke about. And that's a pretty powerful validation. The Bible is the Word of God, and Jesus is our promised Messiah come to save us. That's really the goal here. Now, how do I do that? I do that by revealing glimpses of Christ through the visual arts, through these beautiful paintings, that I just poured my heart and my soul into. And so when somebody picks up this Bible, I'm hoping that as they see these paintings, it draws them in. I'm using that pun on purpose, that draws them in. But through that, they start to look at these 66 passages that I've illuminated and get a little deeper and start going, who is Jesus? Who is this Messiah? What does that mean? You know, the word Messiah is the word that we use in English, the Christ. What does that mean? It's not Jesus's last name. It's a title. Well, what is that? The deeper they get into that, the more people read this Bible, the more they're going to come to a much greater understanding of Jesus's redemptive purpose. Why did He come onto this earth? Why did He do lead the life that he did? Why did he preach what he preached? Why did he die on the cross? Why did he rise from the dead? It gives you a deeper understanding of who Jesus is.
Love that. Artist Tim Gagno, we want as Christians or as people seeking Jesus, more of him all the time, right? And so I love what you said there. Wyatt just asked that last question, said greatest question. You wish more people would ask some questions like that. And so Wyatt wants another question. He wants another shot at asking you because Wyatt's just crushing it on the questions today. Let's see what you got next, Wyatt.
Well, I appreciate the encouragement, Tim, but you don't have to butter up to me or anything. So thank you for saying
You're
that.
You're feeling like a piece of toast over there.
Right, yeah, I'm hollering going, yes.
No, well, going off of that, what you kind of said, I would say you would agree that this is for everybody then, right? We can never have enough of Jesus. We can never have too much of God and wanting to pursue him. So whether you've been following Christ for 30 years or you've never picked up a Bible in your life, you would say every single person can get a glimpse, a better maybe understanding of who God is and what he did through reading this book. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the publisher, Broad Street Publishing Company, they did a phenomenal job on this thing. Obviously, as an artist, when I see my artwork being printed, I always, is it going to look good? Is it going to do it justice? That is phenomenal. The pretty pictures are great, but included in that are commentaries written by me explaining the brushstroke and the theology behind every brushstroke of every painting. And then they also have this, incredible section in the back where we have just this beautiful Bible study where it shows 44 Old Testament prophecies, and then right next to it, exactly in the New Testament, where that Old Testament prophecy was fulfilled. So this thing, if you want to dive in and get a really great Bible study that could take you, you could spend your entire lifetime studying this one particular subject. This is the Bible to get because it's really, really helpful in that type of a Bible study.
Wow, the Illuminated Transcript Bible, the Illuminated Messiah Bible here on Faith Radio. We're talking to artist Tim Gagno. He's the fire painter. He's an award-winning artist, author, speaker, instructor, best known for creating works of art live on stage while his paintbrushes are on fire, which is super cool. His personality is on fire, too. We love having him here on Faith Radio. It's interesting, though, as you probably are listening to this going, wow, I really wish God had a tremendous calling for me in my life, just like it seems like God has for Tim's life. Because Tim must have had a perfect background, right? That's not necessarily the case. As a young man, Tim dabbled in the occults, but two men guided him to become a Christian. We got to hear that story. Want to encourage you, too, that no matter what's happened in your past, no matter what you're going through right now, God wants to use you, too, to do amazing things. And if you're an artist or you feel called to do something like Tim is doing, how do you like make the relationships and make the connections so that you can use your gifts and talents to glorify God? More on Afternoons with Bill Arnold next on Faith Radio.
If you'd like to know more about what it means to begin a relationship with Christ or to chat with someone about it, just text the word faith to 41224.
Do you have gifts and talents that God has given you? And do you use them to glorify Him? I mean, that's been a prayer of mine for a really long time. God, thank you for the gifts and talents you've given me. Help me to use those to glorify you. My name is Ben, and this is the afternoon show, Afternoons with Bill Arnold on Faith Radio. Today, we're talking to the fire painter. He's an artist. His name is Tim Gagno. He's an award-winning artist, author, speaker, and he's best known for creating these works of art live on stage while his paintbrushes are on fire. This is something that you can Google and see, and it's amazing. But the reason we're talking to him today is because he's made these 66 most amazing pieces of art to go along with the Illuminated Messiah Bible. And you can pick up a copy and see his these pictures at bookstores. You can probably buy it on Amazon. It's really important. Tim, thank you for coming back to talk to us on the afternoon show today here on Faith Radio. And over the last 12 to 15 minutes, we've just been talking about how God is using your gifts and talents to glorify Him, to reach more people for Him. But it didn't all start out rosy for you because as a young man, you dabbled in the occult and some black magic. and then two men led you to become a Christian, and that's kind of how your life changed. Would you help us to understand some of that story and share some of that story with us?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no. Captain Mark Hayes and Chaplain Bruce Ewing. I was born again before I met these men, but my salvation experience, I wasn't exactly sure what happened to me. I wasn't raised all that active in church, and I didn't know there were words like born again, saved, things like that. And so when I met these men, they began to disciple me. And that is so important to me to this day. I think that it's really important for more mature Christians to disciple young believers. You know, Jesus told us to, he didn't tell us to make converts. He told us to make disciples in his Great Commission. And that's something that I live by. But these two gentlemen, just they were my first fathers in the faith. And, you know, I was a brand new Christian. I had no idea what I was doing. And they saw something in me. They saw that young airman, and they just took me in. And God used them both to develop my faith and point me in the right direction. Very different backgrounds, but they were like, I say they were like, I had two Pauls to this Timothy. You know, I watched them serve their families, their country, their fellow man, and most importantly, Jesus. And they inspired me, and they actually still do today. I wouldn't be talking to you right now without their influence. And so when I met Captain Hayes to start off with, he was my flight commander when I was 19 years old. And the first thing he ever said to me was, I'm a Baptist. What are you? I told him I was French because I had never heard the word Baptist in my life. I didn't know what a Baptist was. And yeah, I know it's pretty bad. But he looked at me like I had two heads, and he said, no, I'm a Southern Baptist. And I said, yeah, I'm a French Canadian. My grandfather's from Quebec, you know, parlez-vous français. But he looked at me and he was like, oh boy, this boy needs help. He gave me my first Bible. And he started to get me to read it. And one of the things that he did, Captain Hayes, the man was just a discipleship genius. He really was. He recognized, he said, okay, Airman Gagneau is an artist. That was my actual job in the military. I was an artist in the Air Force. And so he recognized that I had this artistic part of me. It's what I was put on this earth to do. He recognized that, but he needed to disciple me and train me up in the ways of the Lord. So how would he do that? Well, what he would do is he'd call me in his office every now and then, and he'd say, I'm doing a Bible study on David and Goliath. Could you paint me a picture for my Sunday school class on David and Goliath? Oh yeah, sure, no problem. I'd be glad to do that. Well, it's got to be biblically accurate. Well, what does that mean? I didn't know what that meant either. So he would take me on these Bible studies, and he would teach me for an hour, 2 hours about David and Goliath. Then I would paint it. Well, he did things like that, asking me to paint these paintings for him that had to be biblically accurate throughout our time serving together. And before I even realized what he was doing, I had painted all these scriptures. I had completely fallen in love with the Word of God, and I was learning that God had a plan and a purpose. He made me an artist for a reason, and his reasons were greater than anything I could ever imagine or think.
What a gift, right, Tim Gagneau?
Oh, yes.
What a gift. And why do you believe that art is so helpful for people like me? I mean, you talked about it, how it's impactful for you, but why do you suppose that mentor of yours and knew and saw the skill and talent that God had given you and wanted to share it with his Sunday school class?
Well, I think that a couple reasons, but you know, the first thing that God ever revealed about himself was that he was a creator. In the beginning, God created. There's another passage in Exodus, and it's the very first time in the scripture that God fills a human being with the Spirit of God. That is also a visual artist. It's Bezalel who created the tabernacle and everything in it, the Ark of the Covenant. He built all that. God said to Moses, go get that guy. I filled him with the Spirit of God, and I need him to make everything for the tabernacle. God has a heart for the arts. Yeah, that sounds a little cliche, but it's true. The visual arts speak to people in a very primal, emotional, deep, deep way that surpasses words. And it connects with people. And, you know, it's a It's a way to glorify God and worship God when you create something. Just the creation process alone connects you with the Creator in a very unique and powerful way that other ways just don't do. And that's one of the things that I found in my life. When I'm creating, I don't create for God, I create with God. It's a collaborative effort. And when I'm spending time with my Father at the easel, that is a very beautiful and special time together.
Tim, you've talked a little bit about discipleship and how we're called to that as Christians. So for those listening and those who maybe don't feel like they have that in them, I think your story is a perfect example about how God uses us in ways we never could have imagined, right? I'm sure you never thought when you were younger growing up, you were going to be where you are today. And now that you are, I think you're, like I said, living proof that God takes the gifts and skills he's given us to speak life into others.
Oh, absolutely. I wanted to draw Spider-Man. That was my goal in life. And, and I worked hard to get there and that didn't happen. And I look back now and I see that God was weaving a path for me that was very different than anything that I would have anticipated. And, you know, I am now privileged to not only share my art, but share my faith in the exact same time, because it's two sides of the same coin. And the way that I express myself, you know, you wouldn't want me to sing. It would be bad. It would be really bad. My singing, it sounds like a chimpanzee with his foot caught in a blender. Nobody wants to hear that. But God gave me paintbrushes. God gave me a piece of charcoal, draw, paint. That's how I can communicate. And it's such a joy to share my faith and my love for Jesus with others by expressing it through the arts and watching how it impacts people. It's just been one of the greatest honors of my life.
Tim Gagneau, the Illuminated Messiah Bible, you had two people mentor you. There are countless people listening right now that might be in a similar situation that you found yourself in as a 19-year-old. What would you say to them?
Find Jesus. He's there looking for you. The whole time you're looking for something and Jesus is looking for you. You know, Jesus hunted me down. He chased me down. And he found me. I didn't find him. He found me first. And once you meet Jesus and once you truly give your life over to him, everything, and I mean everything, changes. And that's when you will truly find what you were put on this earth to do. And it's in him. Everything that we do is for him and in him. We were created for him and by him for a purpose. And that's really what I would, that's the first thing. If you're looking for your purpose on this earth, you got to find your creator so that you can find what you were created for. And when you find that, you find life.
Amen. Tim Gagneau, you also have a traveling exhibit that you take to churches, right? So how can churches sign up? And are you painting with the paintbrushes on fire at churches or...
Oh, we do it. We do it all. You know, to celebrate this brand new Illuminated Manuscript Bible, we take all of the original art and that 12-foot elliptic image cross, and we exhibit in your church. We transform your church into an art museum for a weekend. Part of that is that during a night of worship, where the art's all on display, I am on your stage, on your platform, and I am creating an original piece of art live on stage during worship. A lot of times, my paintbrushes are on fire and I'm breathing fire while I'm creating that art at the same time.
Breathing
so it's pretty
fire?
Exciting. It's hot stuff.
Wow.
You get it?
Hot yeah.
stuff.
That no.
Was, that's a good one.
I get it. And what a
right
great way for you to witness to people and then to invite your friends and neighbors and say, hey, there's something going on at church that we, you know, it's amazing. You should come check this out. Tim Gagneau, thank you. Go ahead.
That you really hit it. You know, the first 1,500 years of church history, the primary tool the church used to impact communities were the visual arts. Let's get that going on again. You know, pastors, call me up. And we'll set this up and we'll turn your church into an art gallery and you can use a whole new way to reach your community.
Tim Gagneau, it's spelled T Tim, T-I-M-G-A-G-N-O-N, Tim Gagneau, The Illuminated Messiah Bible. Thank you, Tim, for joining us on Afternoons with Bill Arnold today.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Oh, we appreciate you, too. God bless. This is Faith Radio.
Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.